Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Yeah, I want to play you something. Connor, I want you to go ahead and start this.
Some ideas to go to the legislation to...
This is Ms. Rosales
with TESA funding
with your Rutherford County School Board.
The way that the BEP versus TESA is changed, we do not get funding now specifically for transportation.
And I want you to hear this.
BEP compared to TESA. So I've gone to them to ask to make some modifications. There's no appetite right now with the current legislation, for whatever reason, I can't speak for them, to make modifications. I thank you, board, for allowing me to present the idea of bringing a foundation, and thank you for approving it. Thank you for Ms. Maxwell to help in and generate a board so that we can use it as a fundraising tool to allow other businesses to
Madam Chair, point of order.
No, I'm talking. I am talking.
We really are.
You do not
Madam Chair.
What I'm saying.
Stop.
This is not a point of order.
Could you please just bring it back to
I am going to bring it back to you. I'm going to bring
now
it.
Now, this is your Rutherford County School Board. Your tax dollars in action, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's cut parental zone, PRZ. But I'm going to be honest with you, Ms. Darby. You own a transportation service.
I do not.
You do not now.
Ms. Rosales?
Wait a second. We do not know if that transportation service,
Madam
if there's
Ms.
Rosales, point of order that you're going
order, to, order, order.
That is a point of order. But I've received an email
order,
from 2020
order.
That you
there you
order,
go.
Madam.
Order.
I'd like a recess, please.
Yeah, they want a recess. I'm going to tell you what, they darn sure need one. Thanks, Connor. You can cut that off now. Ain't nothing there to it anyway. This is Ed Raymer of the Evan Lee Raymer Show. Judy Whitehill's my guest, and that's not what we're here to talk about, the PRZ. I'm sure it may come up if some of you call in. But we are here to talk about books and books in schools and libraries and librarians, and I've got one of the best in the county right here. She was at it for many, many years, and she's retired now, so she can pretty well state within some limits what's on her mind. And we'll give her the grace of saying as she doing as she wishes, as she always does when she comes up here. And so Judy Whitehill's here. She's with us. She's going to be on the air in just a second. Connor wants you to kick us off, if you would, please. But for right now, my name is Evan Lee Raymer. And yes, I'm still a private investigator for now. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
Yeah. right, isn't it? That is a little rock and roll, kick you off a little bit for it. I was talking to Judy just for now. Well, but don't get that bad here between me and her before this thing. Like it did at the school board. This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show, and I'm your host, Ed Raymer. This show's produced at the studios WGNS AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great volunteer state right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you can reach us tonight. You can reach Judy at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. You can also send us a text to that number. And Connor, our producer on the board, doing a good job as always. We'll be glad to read it over there, or he'll write it down and give it to me or Judy. We'll read it. Now, how do you watch us? There's a number of different ways. First of all, Judy, if you'd help me explain to some of these young people, there's this rectangular device in the dash of your car. It's called a radio. And may have an on button. I don't know. To turn the computer off, you have to press the on button. So I don't know anymore how y'all do this. I don't know what's going on with these people, Judy. But you can listen on the old-fashioned radio, 1450 AM. Again, 100.5, 101.9 FM. WGNS, right here. We simulcast on three frequencies right now. We're on them. And my wife listens, for example, on Alexa. She doesn't watch on YouTube or Facebook Live. You can go to News Radio WGNS, and you can go and pull up all of my shows from the very beginning. Please don't go listen to the first couple of years. I listen every once in a while just to see how far I've come, thank goodness. But at News Radio, at WGNSradio.com. And that's you can pull that up on your computer or your car, your telephone, what device, whatever you've got. I don't know anymore. It's changed so much. And, again, you watch us on YouTube. You can watch us live. All my shows are there for the last two or three years. And, we're on there live right now. If you want to go watch us, you can see our beautiful faces there. And you can download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish. Angela Bingham just left, her and Angie Renee, and I thank them always for opening up. They do a great job with Simplicity here every Sunday at 6 p.m. and just doing wonderful work, and have been for a long time. She's been at this, I think, 5 or 6 years now. I can't remember. Not quite as long as I have. Soon will be going into my 14th year, and she's just a wonderful person, and that's all I need to be surrounded by, is just good people. And speaking of good people, Connor's here, but we've got another one, Judy Whitehill. And Judy, thank you for coming up tonight to do this.
My pleasure.
Thank you. I want you to give people your resume. Tell people who you are, where you came from, okay?
Well, I was originally from Nashville. I moved to Murfreesboro in 1966. I went to the old Central High School, graduated in 69, went to MTSU, got my degrees. I started teaching in Murfreesboro City in 1973 as a speech therapist. And then when Northville opened, I moved there to be a speech therapist for 3 years, and then went into the Library Media Center in 1990.
Right. Okay.
Then I left in 2002 to go be president of the Tennessee Education Association for 4 years. So I'm currently retired, but still very active. Someone said, you can retire from your position, but you don't leave your profession.
That's true.
And that's the way I am. I'm still very active, and I've become very concerned over the last couple of years with what's been happening, where they're trying to dictate what books would be in a library.
I know.
I have, we've always had a policy in the city system, and I know the county and other counties have policies, where if there is material that maybe a parent objects to, there's a process. The parent comes in and has a conversation. They can fill out a paper to talk about the book that they have an objection to. And then it can be resolved as simply as saying to the parent, well, if your child brings this book up, we'll just ask them to choose another book, and therefore the book stays on the shelf. If that doesn't resolve the situation, then we can always have a meeting where there's a couple of teachers and the principal and the parent, and everyone sits down and discusses it. And it's always worked. The process has always worked.
Right. Sure.
It seems like in the last 4 or 5 years, there have been individuals who have had some type of agenda about removing books.
I know. I agree.
Yeah, the thing that is so disturbing to me and mm-hmm. to other library and media specialists and much of the public is that there is no real rhyme or reason as to the books they're objecting to.
No.
There may be one or two words that they have been told is in the book, so they want the book removed from every library. This year, the Rutherford County School Board asked the library media specialist to read over 144 books. To come back to the board, and the board was taking 15 to 20 books a meeting, and they were to report, or the report was given to the board as to the recommendation the library media specialist made on every single book. And I've been to many of those meetings, and I know we have a Rutherford County Library Alliance where people
right.
have been coming
mm-hmm.
and listening
yes.
and speaking. And the majority, unfortunately, of the seven members have wanted to remove the books regardless of the recommendation by the professionals.
By the professionals.
They want the books
and
removed.
And they're in your lane here.
This is what you're
a librarian.
Yes, the library media specialists, the ones who have gone to school. In fact, just recently the board honored the library media specialist. It was Library Media Specialist Week.
Right.
And they gave a report, and almost every library media specialist had multiple graduate degrees. It wasn't they just had 4 years
right.
of college.
Right.
They had degrees
exactly.
in library media specialist materials. So
what's their reasoning they're giving for not listening? Because I find it hard to believe that a bunch of farmers and real estate agents are sharper than this. Not that they're all not sharp, don't get me wrong, but I really don't trust. I used to be in the insurance business. I can say this. I really don't trust an insurance agent against a qualified teacher or an educated person for doing this. What are they giving, Judy?
Well,
And I ask simply because I'm not trying to put you on the spot, because I know you go to the meetings. I've watched them on YouTube, okay? So, I get a sense of it, but some of them I think they're going against just to be difficult. Please explain.
Well, my observation is that the individuals who are objecting to the materials have not read them. It's one thing for me to ask you to read a book and give me your opinion, and then I just blanketly say, I'm not listening to you, and I haven't read it. I think that's what bothers me, is that closed mind attitude.
Right.
And sometimes it might be one word or two words that they object to.
Right.
And so rather than say, let's look at what the library media specialist recommended. Oh, they recommend that this only be for juniors and seniors. And sometimes they would recommend that the books even have to have a parent consent before the student's allowed to check it out.
Sure.
Which seems very reasonable. But at the same time, the majority, 4 of the 7, just say blanket statement, no, it's filth. We don't want it in there. And I really have a problem with that. Let me give you an example. My granddaughter is 8 years old. My son is in the military, and so currently they're in the Netherlands. And she was telling me that she was going to have to do a book report. This is in second grade. And she said, Mimi, I'm nervous about speaking in front of my class. And I said, well, if you make sure you've read the book and you know what you're saying is accurate, then all you're doing is just basically talking to your friends about a book. You even might make them have their interest perked when they hear about it, and they may say, oh, I'd like to read that book too.
Sure.
And I said, I'm going to be speaking in front of a group of adults. And I said, sometimes I get a little nervous. And she said, well, what are you going to be talking about? And I said, well, I'm going to be talking about books that people have a question about.
How ironic.
She said, listen to this. She said, what do you mean? And I said, well, they want to take the books away, take them completely out of the library because there's something in there they don't like. And she goes, Mimi, that's silly. Why don't they just tell their kids, don't read that book?
I know.
Now, this is the smarts of an eight-year-old child.
Eight-year-old child.
Yes. Yeah. She gets it.
Is she busy over the summer?
You mean like she could help?
This is your son?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's in
What's
the military.
What's his number? I'll give him a call and say, wait, me and Joni got an extra bedroom now the kids have moved out.
Listen.
I know they don't want her staying with grandma because grandma's but I got another lady that would probably spoil her just as bad. But, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is. Because, first of all, the books, when you tell someone they can't have something, spurs them to be a little bit more curious anyway.
Yeah, it intrigues the curiosity. Yes. True.
But, you know, chances are the books that they have taken off, they're not the most of the students wouldn't even open the books. Some of these are books that the teachers have asked them to read to have a classroom book so that they can discuss it.
Sure.
And it's about, it's like anything. You can't take a word out of context. You have to have it so that it has meaning. I mean, you can look in the Bible and you can find bad words. Yes.
And as I have said from the beginning of this situation, you know, are we going to ban the Bible? Because some pretty sordid stories in there. One of the girls got up a few weeks ago.
I heard her.
Yeah, and I don't know if you were at that meeting or not, and she read it. I'm surprised no one. I really was waiting for someone to hit the mute button, but they just couldn't. You know, I mean, right. I'm not getting this. And folks, let me explain to you. We're not talking about in my days in the 70s the Hustlers and the Penthouse and the Playboys. I guess do magazines even exist like that? I guess it's it's all on our phone now. Anyway, and you know, I got to get my phone out of my. Well, I can't be anywhere without my phone. Goodness gracious, we're not talking about putting porn in libraries. That's not what we're talking about.
Well, and let me mention that in our libraries and the schools, we have a section, and the Dewey Decimal section is between the 200 and 299, and that's where you have books on religion and theology.
Sure.
And we have books about Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam.
Right.
You know, we have all of that for individuals who want to choose those books. We, as librarians, don't censor who reads what. Now, if I saw a first grader, for example, bring me up a thick Harry Potter book, I would probably say, you know, this looks like a really good book, but I don't think this is on your reading level, so let me have this one, and you go choose another one. There's some books in this section that I think you'll really enjoy, and sometimes I'd even go find a book and suggest it to them.
Sure.
That's the way you handle it. You don't condemn them for bringing up a book that you don't think is appropriate for their grade.
Agreed.
You help them. That's what we're there for, is to give them something that they will be interested in, that is age and grade appropriate. And, I mean, that's what we're trained to do. That's what specialists do.
Well, I don't know. I had heard and have said before, and I'm being repetitious now, that one of the board members said, you know, and this is back November, December, what we need to do is we need to take a look at these books, okay? And I understand, are you going to take a look at them or are you going to read them? I mean, what are you going to look at? Just the inside cover and, you know, the author's notes or whatever. I'm talking about reading it from cover to cover, the entire thing.
Yeah, that keeps it in
context.
That
takes a long time. That takes time to do, depending on how fast a reader you are and all that.
And
you know.
And see, they ask all of these media specialists, on top of all the other things in their job description, to take time after hours to read these books and to make a recommendation. And then they completely overlook it. You know, what does that say when you as a professional have recommended something and they completely dismiss it?
I don't know. I was wondering that too. You know, why do we even go to the expense and trouble to hire these fine people if we're not going to heed their advice and say, you know, okay, well, maybe they know what they're talking about.
Right.
Why are we doing this, Judy?
Well,
I don't understand.
I've spoken two or three times on this particular issue, and I've always said the very same thing. You know, you're not listening to what they're recommending. And, you know, I have to say this. I think that the board members who have been in such opposition to books need to take a look at the fact that they were elected by their constituents, by the citizens of Rutherford County, not by their church.
I think you're exactly right, because you've got a contingent of people that are loyal to a certain church or to a certain faith, and that has nothing to do with the issue whatsoever.
It certainly does not.
Right. I couldn't agree more, you know. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think Stephen Reynolds, you've met him before.
Yes, I know Stephen.
Yeah, he's been around. And and still is, thank goodness.
Yes.
But and my father, when he passed, we of course had a lot of his my father was a Baptist minister, general Baptist minister. And he had a lot. I was surprised what Dad had. He had a lot of different books, and he had a copy of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, translated. Of course, I was in English. I didn't read that particular language. But it's amazing how most books all pretty well say the same thing. And I did not read that Quran. Believe it or not,
right.
I'm quoting someone else that said that. It's not. You know, it doesn't preach hatred, and it preaches, you know, tolerance and love and compassion and all that. We seem to have gotten away from that, Judy.
I agree. I think if you look at our public schools, you're going to see a good sampling of the people who are in our cities, our states, in our country.
Yeah, right.
And any interaction that you have with someone who may not align with you with their religion or something else, it helps you be a better person because you learn the things they believe. You try to understand why, and it may be very different from what you believe, but it doesn't make either one of you right or wrong. It's
right.
Just something that's different.
Well, you know, a friend of mine used to be here on the air with me, Bill Wilson. And I credit Bill with this a lot. You know, we have to agree to disagree agreeably.
Exactly.
And I don't have a problem with that. You know, you and I are both part of the same political party. Doesn't mean we agree on every single thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, do we have a caller?
No.
Okay. But doesn't mean we part company and don't ever speak to each other again.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it's not, I don't know of anything we disagree on, but I'm sure there's something. I mean, heaven forbid everybody would agree with Ed and Raymer on everything he believes. That would be a pretty mixed up world.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to agree with me, Judy, but I mean.
Well, let me give you an example of what I always did for kindergarten students. The first time that each class would come from kindergarten, we always talked, of course, about respect for books, respect for the people in your class, this sort of thing. That was my big rule, just respect. And I would always take two particular books. One book had a beautiful cover of butterflies and flowers and just lovely, lovely things.
Okay.
The other one was a solid cover. It was orange, and it just had the title. And I would hold both books up, and I'd say, now, we're going to read both of those books. Which one do you think we should start with? And they always said, the ones with the butterflies.
I'd read
that story,
and
I'd say, okay, now let's read the other one. After I read the second one, they said, oh, that was the best book. And I said, well, you know, I tend to agree with you. I think that was the best book. But you know what? We've learned a valuable lesson. You cannot judge what's inside that book by the cover.
By the cover.
An old saying, of course. But, you know, for me, it had a really important meaning because who knows who was sitting beside that child? Like, oh, I don't like that dress they're wearing or that shirt, you know. And so when you teach a young child that, it opens up their mind. And so I think a lot of the adults that we interact with could learn a lot from those kindergarten children and that book experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, and, you know, and if you're an adult listening to us and you're listening to this right now, we don't mean to hurt your feelings. Just open up your mind a little bit, folks.
Exactly.
It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's like anything. If you don't want this particular food, then just don't eat it. Or if you don't want this to shop at this particular store, just don't shop there.
Right.
You don't have the right to infringe on everybody else and what they're doing.
True.
You can talk to them about it, about why you don't like this or why you do like it, but you can't mandate and dictate to people what they're supposed to like or not like. And that's especially true of books in the library, because we're all different and our interests are different. So,
go ahead. Let me ask you, where does this go from here? Where do we stand on this right now?
Well, they have finished, at least for this calendar year, they finished the books they objected to, and they've asked the librarians to read them, and they voted on them. They took very, very few of the librarians' recommendations. Most of them, they just said, no, we're removing them from the shelves. So I don't know what their plan is as far as following up, if there will be more books that'll come up over the summer.
Right.
But I think there are lots of, not just parents, but a lot of citizens who are very concerned that this has happened. So I'm hoping that they will talk to some of these board members about how they've handled
right.
this
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, maybe this won't be a problem next year. You know, I don't know. It's to be determined.
Okay.
I will now say that we're also having issues with the Rutherford County Library Board. I was in the last two or three meetings, and there are people, some of the same group, objecting to particular books on the shelf of the Rutherford County Library System.
Okay.
And
yeah.
at one of the board meetings, not the last one, but the one before, they made a motion that said any book that dealt with transgender, whether it was in the title or in the subject matter of the book, be removed from the library. And it went to a vote, and of course the majority in this case won. So at the last board meeting, one of the board members asked to reconsider it. And it looked like they might be willing to reconsider it, but one board member in particular said, no, we need to give the audience or give citizens more time
sure.
to respond and
sure.
come and attend. So the June library board meeting will probably be very full.
Okay.
But they're doing the same type of things. And the rationale is, you know, they just don't want young people to be exposed to that. The people who were saying, trying to be reasonable about it, said, well, parents are supposed to be with their children in the public library. So if they pick up a book, the parent simply says, let's put that one back and look in another section.
So, we're going to talk about something. I'm writing it right now.
Okay.
What about the internet?
Well, see, that's exactly right. The internet, their phones, anything like that, they're going to be able to search or research any topic they want. So they're not being able to remove a particular subject. Again, it goes back to just, why would you make such a big deal of something if you don't want people to be involved with it? Just let others who want to read that, fine, and go to another section yourself.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're about at the halfway point.
Okay.
I wanted to give Judy maximum yield of our time. Did we have a caller? Are they going to call back or whatever the case is?
No, that was a station question about the app on the app.
I want you to stay with us, folks. Connor's going to take us to a break. If you want to call, 693-615-893-1450. Give us a call. Connor will put you on the air. And I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a station break. Back with you right after this. Stay with us. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to Jay Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullis Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to Jay Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's Jay Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
That is Shine Down. How you like that? I think Miss Judy likes that. You like that version?
I like it.
Nice.
Really,
isn't it nice of the fellas to do that? Mark Riddle, thank you for listening. I have your thing here on Facebook. I love your show. I'm here. Thank you very much. You're welcome to give us a call. 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. To let you know who this lady is, we go back a few years now. We got to know each other there in the Democrat campaign for Stephen Reynolds, and
yes,
went from there. Let's
right.
just leave it at that. But thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Got a call from Jeff Neal earlier in the week. Jeff, I'm sorry I didn't give you a call back. Meant to. I'll never do, and we'll promise. I promise I'll try and do better at that. Judy, we've talked about books and all this. We're
you know, this is 1950s. Leave it to Beaver anymore.
Exactly.
Okay. What are these people? I mean, and let me ask you this way, and let's expand on your answer. As long as you do what you want. Excuse me. Don't let me cripple you there.
That's all right.
You know, like I said, we live in a different time. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
But is this happening in other counties? Surely it is. I know it was happening in South Carolina because Scott Pelley did a piece on 60 Minutes last year about this. And it all turned to be much ado about nothing. And he was in a very conservative area in southern South Carolina, around Hilton Head, down in around the islands down in there. And they wound up, out of 40 books, 40-something books, they put everything back on the shelf but two.
Okay.
And later those two wound up going by. I mean, it was ridiculous. And all these people are conservatives.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening in some of the other states, but at least here in Tennessee, there are pockets of places where a group will bring forth a list of books and they, you know, start lobbying the board members to object to it.
Sure.
And that's, you know, that's the problem. If every board member read every book that they say they object to, then I think they would see a different outcome. Because, first of all, having to read the entire book is quite an ordeal.
I mean, it's
not something that a lot of people would want to do, especially 144 of them. But if they're reading the entire book, they're taking it in context. So that would, I believe, change their mind some, too.
Yeah, you had to put a little time in a...
Yeah, they have to have a little skin in the game.
Yeah,
they have to have some ownership.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And again, I'm going to go back to what I said. These individual board members were elected by people in their zones, their districts.
Right.
And when they were running for school board, they were talking about making our public schools strong. They were talking about providing every opportunity for our students.
Exactly.
And that's where their focus needs to be. That's where they need to concentrate their efforts. Right now, every time we've been to the board meetings in the last several months, they're having to cut millions of dollars from the budget. Now, if that is so important, then why are they spending all their time on something like removing books? In fact, they even mentioned that, you know, you're supposed to, by state law, you're supposed to have a certain number of books and materials for every child. And Rutherford County is under that amount because of pulling so many books. And then, of course, now what you're doing is you're questioning a library media specialist judgment when they get ready to purchase new materials. And see, when I would buy new materials, first of all, if a student asked about a particular author, I would research to see if what books they had and if they were age appropriate so that I would know maybe to buy some of those books.
Sure.
Also, we have professional books that give lists of different titles, different subjects, different authors, and they'll have recommendations. So that's how you purchase. You don't just say, I think I'll buy that book and this book. And, you have rhyme and reason to it.
Sure.
So anyway, there's the money is not there to bring that amount up, materials and books per pupil.
We have a caller on the line.
Mr. Riddle.
Go ahead, caller. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Ed.
Yes.
Yeah, good show. You always have a good show. I do. I love your show. I just sometimes don't get tuned in till late and always hesitate to call because it interrupts good conversation.
Who am I talking to, please?
Mark Riddle.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, except that I'm just livid with this stuff going on with the book ban, and I really am.
Well, it's ridiculous, and, you know, I mean, we need to monitor what our children read. I understand that, but where do you live, Mark? Are you here in Rutherford County, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in Murfreesboro.
Okay. All right. Have you kept up with this? Okay. Have you kept up with what's going on? I'm just asking.
I kept up with it the most best I can. If you remember, I called when you had a political candidate on there a few months ago, and I asked about book banning. He said, there's not going to be any book banning. And I don't know if he meant just in the city as opposed to the county, because sometimes I get the city school board and the county school board confused as to who's doing what.
Understandable. Sure.
So that might have been what he meant. But anyway, this just, you know, it almost be funny if it wasn't so pathetic, really.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's the reason I have Judy up here to try and bring some sanity to an insane situation.
Yeah, thank you, Judy, for being here and giving us some professional insight. You know, it's nothing like education to cure ignorance.
thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. You know, one of the times I spoke, I was talking about that very thing. I said, if you think education is expensive, just try the cost of ignorance. So,
There you go. Right. I couldn't agree more.
Let me ask you a specific question while I got you here.
Sure.
What's the date of the next Rutherford County Library Board meeting?
It is June. Oh, let's see, Mark. It's either the 2nd or the 3rd. It's the first Monday in June, and I don't have my calendar in front of me. But as I recall, it will be at the Murfreesboro Library. They try to rotate throughout the system because they have a library in Smyrna and one in Laverne. So they try to take the opportunity to get to those libraries while they have their meetings. So this one will supposed to be at the library, but if it's going to be super well attended, they may move it to the courthouse, which is where they had it back in, I think, March or April. But it is June. It's the first Monday in June. And I think it starts at 5 o'clock, but you might want to go online, the library website, and check that.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would encourage you to come, and if you feel so inclined to speak, put your name on the list, because we've had some excellent speakers who've talked about, you know, basically what we're talking about tonight, the importance of making those materials available, and a lot of parent responsibility involved in this. I have one child, one son, and I took my job as a mother very, very seriously in making sure that I watched the things he did, the activities he was involved in, and we had conversations about why something, you know, why we approved of something or why maybe, you know, he wouldn't want to do this. And that, I think, is what parents need to do. They don't need to be, and if I'm stepping on toes out there, I'm sorry, but they don't need to be sitting on their phone while their child is in front of the computer or on their phone, not having conversations. It's kind of ironic that we talk about social media when a lot of this has made us very antisocial, you know, and we'll say, people say things online that they would never say to someone's face. So, you know, I think parents need to kind of back up and look at what their children are doing and how they're involved in things and have those important conversations.
Yeah, and you know, the bad thing too is that there's so many people that feel like we do about this, but all we do is complain. You know, I guess I'm guilty myself, but we need to get some folks to make sure they're voting.
Yes.
Folks to start running against these people for office so that, you know, we don't have a board loaded with enough to have a majority that wants to treat us like Nazi Germany. And I hate to say that, but I mean, book banning, it makes me just think about Nazi Germany.
Exactly.
You're not far off the mark, Mike. You're not.
Before long, you know, you ban them now, burn them next week.
Right. You're exactly right. And you're right. That's the way you attack this, is by finding candidates who see the importance of having books in the library and support those candidates and try to get them elected.
And here's the thing, Mark, is to question these candidates.
Yes.
Question them and say, what do you believe in? You know, I'm not talking about your faith now. I'm not talking about your religious issues, but, you know, do you believe in the good old-fashioned reading, writing, and arithmetic? I mean, do you believe in teaching a civics course, for goodness sake?
Right, civics, yes.
Yeah, and is this still a democracy, or are we going to have a few people make all decisions for us without us really feeling like we're independent?
Right. We're on the same page here.
I believe you are, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that some more people will really blast these boards like they did about that PRZ deal.
Yes.
And make them take it back, you know, get a few people calling and complaining and somebody saying, I don't get elected next time, they might give us some thought.
I agree.
But this is scary because I see this as a microcosm of the state and then the country in terms of, you know, democracy slipping away.
True.
It just scares me, and I'm thinking we've got to make a stand. We cannot just all sit by and gripe about it. Lose those freedoms that we used to have.
Yes.
Well, Mark, that's what we try to do here every week. It's the reason I do it. And I appreciate to know you're out there, because there are so many people that I bump into at the grocery store or at the supermarket, wherever it may be. Oh, yeah, I've seen you on TV, or I've seen, and then get mixed up. And they are following the show, but you don't know, I don't know a lot of you folks are there. And it's good to hear from you. And I thank you. And I thank you for reaching out on Facebook. And I'd certainly appreciate your call. Really do.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Yes,
we appreciate
it. Great points.
Isn't that great? I'm telling you, it's good to hear from people like Mark.
It is.
Thank you, Mark.
And I think there are so many people who think that. They just don't always want to, you know, put themselves out there.
They're a bit shy. I know. Yes, some people are. It doesn't sound like Mark is. I think he's about had his belly full. It sounds. We've got another caller. Let's go. Go ahead. Caller, you're on the air.
Miss Beasley, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Miss Reimer, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Is this Jeff?
It's Jeff.
Yeah, I spent all weekend at the ball field, so please excuse the dust on my god.
Okay. Jeff, I got your call earlier in the week on something in the paper, and I picked up a paper, and the thing was 4 days old. It's still ain't
it. You know how news, it travels real fast. You know, it travels so fast. That was the speed of light, you know, and things does.
I'm telling you, what's on your mind?
I saw where they finally nixed the parents. I don't. I guess everybody got kind of bad screen. We don't know. I'm going to do that for a while. I don't know what else. What else we can do?
You mean about the bus situation?
Yeah, the bus situation. I saw where they kind of pulled it. I guess they're not going
right
for a year. I don't think.
Well, I think some of the things that people have begun to realize is that, yes, it is expensive to have a lot of extra buses and to have the drivers, but you have the safety of the children. And so many of the schools do not have sidewalks. They may have them right in front of a school,
right,
but they don't have them in a neighborhood, and you can't endanger a child's life.
Well, you try, like guys said on Twitter. If I'm walking down Highway 99.
Oh, I know. There's
no
safe places.
Ain't no sidewalks over there.
No, there are no safe places like that. And we
ain't no sidewalk on Highway 99. Have you seen one in Edward Lee?
No,
have not. No.
No, and you know,
it might be one 5 minutes ago. I ain't seen one over.
One of the things also, Jeff, is that this will impact so many people who work. They live in Rutherford County, but they may work outside of the county, and they have to leave early to get to work on time, and their children, you know, they can't allow them to stay at home and then walk to school. They have to take them. So
one finally I want to ask y'all, the only one I went to tell you, when I called you, I know Miss Beasley, you talked about this a lot. I know you're the name now, but
that's okay. I still go by Beasley
school,
too.
Yeah, the school prayer thing.
Yes.
There was a complaint about it, and they told them when they put it in, the night they voted, that attorney of the city told them,
yes,
if you do this and somebody complains, obviously what it's going to cost the county, like $100. And now they've got this ACLJ that's going to give them the free counsel.
Yes.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about the ACLJ too much.
I just read that in the news. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I know, but you're right. You're right. Yeah, the ACL, that's that guy over at Brentwood. He's hung around bunch of Republicans.
The guy at the start was the CBN guy, Pat Robertson. That's what it is.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about having a prayer in school, we, as I mentioned before, you know, in our libraries, we have a religious section which includes Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam. Yeah. You cannot have a Christian prayer when you have residents and students in a school who subscribe to a different religion.
Yeah, I'm talking about before the school board.
I know, but at the same time,
oh, I agree.
They just don't need to have. They need to do a moment of silence. People can go to their house of worship for their prayers whenever they want to go. They don't need to do it in a public entity.
When we were in school, we had the Pledge of Allegiance.
We had a moment of silence. Exactly. And it worked fine.
It worked fine. Nobody complained.
Right.
Nobody said anything about it. It was over. Nobody said that.
You're exactly right, Jeff.
Before I get off Aaron Lee, she knows I done told her already. She knows about public school not being funded. But this woman right here, I'm going to tell you, she's one of the best. And she wasn't like one of the best teachers. Things I ran, I'm telling you.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that.
Right now, she's one of the best women. I can just about four or five on my hand, and she's one of them.
Well, Jeff, I want to tell you something. That makes me feel awfully. I'm going to tell you right now. It makes me feel good. And I'm going to tell you what makes me feel good. To know that you actually attended school.
I know.
Don't let him talk to you like that, Jeff.
I mean, two and two's 10. I don't know what 2 and 2 is. 2 and 2's 10. We all know it. I attend no school. One day, you call me up one day, I'll tell you the Grundy County joke. I'll tell you real good. We can't say it on this air.
Okay, no, let's stay away from the Grundy County joke.
I have five on my hand, and she's one of the best ones they ever had. You talk about public schools, and you know this. If you fund them right, you're going to get it done. That's about you know it.
Exactly.
You know it. Everybody knows. So
yes.
Y'all have a good week and everything. Enjoy the show. Thank you,
Jeff. Jeff Neal, I'll tell you. You taught Jeff?
I did.
Well, you didn't teach him very well. Anyway.
I did.
Jeff is a supporter of this station.
He is a supporter of public schools, too.
He's a contributor to some of our newspapers in town, and I appreciate him so much. He has been a follower of this broadcast, and I'm very much appreciative of him.
He has
efforts.
A real heart for public schools.
He
so
really
I appreciate
does.
That.
He
yes.
really does.
He does.
Yeah. You know, you know, I sincerely, and I ask, you know, and thank you, caller. Thank you, all of you. Mark, thank you again. And all of you that listen, and I run into you. I bump into you all the time, and I've always got people, you know, hey, who are you going to have on Sunday night? I don't know. Well, you know, you have to just listen in. Hey, and you're getting your money's worth tonight, right? and here's the thing, Judy. For those of us, you know, that are older, those that are younger couples, this is not exciting stuff. It's not sexy. It's not. If you have children in school, though, this is important.
It's very important. Well, because
it's
our public,
what's going on?
And our public schools accept every student. That's why I've had such a problem with this issue of charter schools and vouchers, because they're very selective. Every child who comes to a public schools, whatever their level of ability, the teachers are going to meet that, and they're going to have programs designed to help them, whether it is having a psychologist, special education, speech, language. They're going to be able to help those students. And part of me, the cynical part, says that's why public schools have been attacked at the federal level, because they're trying to make it seem like we're not doing an effective job, because they want to take some of that, the money, the resources, and move it elsewhere. And this thing about vouchers, 99% or 95%, maybe more than 95%, of the people who are going to try to make use of a voucher have never been in a public school. Their students have always been in a private school. So it's
or they've been in homeschool.
Or homeschool. It's not going to benefit children who have been in public schools, because when they go to try to use their voucher, they're going to say, oh, well, you need speech therapy and we don't offer that. Or you need to have an IEP and we don't offer that. Mm-hmm. So they send
That's
them right
exactly
back
right.
to their local public school with less funding.
That's right.
And so that's one of the reasons that we as professional educators have been so upset about the voucher system.
Well, and this is another thing. And Mayor Carr was right about this. And I saw this. When that money is apportioned for that child to go to that school, now, a month later, the parents say, hey, this ain't working out. They pull their child out. Does that money get refunded?
No, the money does not go back to the public
schools.
And
Mayor Carr, I must say, he brought that point up and said, what happens to our taxpayers?
Right.
What happens to that money?
Exactly.
It's gone.
Yep.
And I think it's nothing more, you hear the word a lot in politics, power grab. I think this is a money grab more than anything.
It is.
I really do.
It is.
And Bill Lee, that governor of ours, of y'all's, has opened the door to it by standing there and laughing along with a man that called the teachers of Tennessee. You have the correct word.
It was very derogatory.
As all get out. And that's just, the man just sat there and told a blatant lie, because, you know, our kids went to public school. I have no complaints. You have issues come up in public school. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But you people, some of you people are wanting a perfect world.
Well,
and
most
it doesn't
of,
exist. You've never lived the life of a teacher. Let me tell you something. I go by schools. I told my wife just the other night, I guarantee you drive by some schools at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll see a teacher's car out there.
Exactly. Or if they are at home, they're making phone calls to parents, or they're doing
exactly right.
text or anything to let them know what's happened and what
exactly.
they can expect as a homework assignment or whatever.
Right.
There's just so many demands on our educators these days.
And not to mention emails and all that, too.
Right.
You know.
Well, I was talking to someone the other day, and I gave them kind of an estimate of what the beginning salary is for teachers.
Yeah.
And they said, are you kidding? We could make more at a fast food restaurant. Now, that says a lot.
It says something's troubling.
Yes.
Is what it says. And I'm telling you right now, I have teachers that say, you know, if I ask you, what would you do, you know, if you had a child to rear and to raise up and do this, don't be a teacher. It's terrible.
It's unfortunate.
Because teaching is a profession, just like architecture, just like the law, just like medical degrees.
Sure.
It's a profession. And by the way, we have some PhDs, and Frank Lambert is one of those in our community that teaches at MTSU, by the way, who's nobody's, you know, fuzzy-headed fair guy out here. I mean, he takes a logical look at the world, you know,
right.
not through foggy-coated lenses either. I mean, he looks at it just like me and you do.
Right.
You know. I mean, this is, you know, and I've told Rob Mitchell sitting right there in that chair where you're at, you know, if I got to pay some more taxes so my kids don't grow up stupid, then that, so be it.
Well,
the reason my wife and I were here because of the school system. Right. I've told you 100 times.
Yeah. We talk about the value of our children, and we talk about it, but we don't put the money where we talk.
We
have to make sure that we have qualified teachers in the classroom. And we have a lot of people who would like to do that, but we have to support them and show respect. So let me just say, any teachers who are out there listening, you have the hardest job, and I give you my total respect and admiration for what you do, and I beg you to keep doing it.
Judy Whitehill has been our guest tonight on the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm Ed Raymer with you, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to go out right now. I want you to stay tuned here to WGNS. I thank you all for your support. I thank our sponsors. I appreciate you so much, Judy. Thank you again for doing this on a Sunday night.
My pleasure.
Mother's Day, by the way.
Thank you.
To all the moms, I apologize. I forgot that at the top of the thing, and I wrote it down. But with that, I'm going to say this is Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Thanks again, Judy. I appreciate you. And until next Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night. Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.